This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show. Sorry, I'm still excited about that news. It's great news. Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight, talking some Broncos Giants. But Benjamin, I just saw the news that Everybody Loves Raymond's doing a 30th anniversary reunion special, and I'm very excited about that. So I just wanted to ask you the most important question first. Are you a fan?
I was a fan of the actor that was the... was it the grandfather or the dad on there?
Yeah, Peter Boyle. Great.
He was phenomenal. I wasn't the biggest fan of Everybody Loves Raymond, but I did love Ray Romano in several other different things. I loved him in the show Bookie. Loved him in Ice Age, obviously. I think Brad Garrett too. I like all those people. I guess that show just was a little too formula sitcom.
It's such a smart show, Benjamin. It's cutting edge. Cutting edge stuff.
You know, I don't know that I can trust your judgment on this. I was having a debate with your discussion with your producer about that. I feel like I need to put myself forward as a mediator, as apparently you hate puns.
Well, he does them all the time. Like, he just fires them off. I'll be in the middle of like a heated thing about somebody, and then he throws in. You know, we're talking about Neat Clifford, the former CSU Ram. I'm talking about him yesterday, and how I think he's going to work out in the NBA, the body type, all this stuff. We're getting into it, and then he just jumps in with a, you might say his journey to the NBA has been unique. You know, come on. I mean, he uses it all the time.
It fits.
This is showing a mastery of the English language, to be honest with you, and I think that you should celebrate his genius.
You know what's sad about this? I'm getting people on the text line like, wow, Brady's kind of a jerk to Michael. He's hilarious. He's delivering radio gold. What world am I in? And now you, who I very much respect, you hate Everybody Loves Raymond, and now you're saying Michael is funny.
I don't hate Everybody Loves Raymond. It's more of a general malaise. I get that because I've got producers and they'll pipe in with something that's really funny, and I'm like, wait a minute, your star is outshining mine right now. We gotta shut this down. So I see where it is, Brady Holmes. I see where it is.
I gotta rethink my life and my career. But most importantly, let's talk about Broncos Giants. Benjamin, I'm always a fan of shots being fired and all the stuff on social media that we're seeing. I love this stuff. What do you make of Nick Bonitto's tweet, Jonathan Cooper's statements, the fan base coming at us, coming at the Broncos? I mean, where's your head when you see all this?
Well, look, let me preface all this by saying my favorite rocker ever was Tom Petty. My favorite race car driver was Kyle Petty. My favorite all-time Baylor quarterback was Bryce Petty. I love the Petties, right? All of them. Yes. I celebrate the entire catalog. That said, this whole thing started off an innocent comment from Jonathan Cooper, who was talking about how the Giants are kind of feeling themselves. They got a little swagger. They're dancing with the chain, you know, out there, all that kind of stuff. It was totally an off-the-cuff, innocuous comment that was meant to be complimentary. And he just was saying, hey, look, these guys have some sizzle. We're going to see if they have any steak on Sunday. And then somehow that got turned into the idea that Jonathan Cooper, of all people, was trying to provide bulletin board material for the Giants. And then you get the Giants fan base coming at him sideways, all this kind of stuff. So then Nick Bonitto tweets out in a now-deleted tweet that fan base is delusional, talking about the Giants. Then some girl got in his DMs, and he told them they were going to BTA, which is either, belt to backside or beat that backside, whatever, however you want to do that one, this weekend. And so then the DMs got out, and now it's just this whole thing. And I'm like, look, normally I'm here. I'm the king of petty. I love it. But this is just weird. Like, you've got a Giants team that's 2-4, a Broncos team that's 4-2, and I don't know what to do with this. Like, what are we doing here? We got the creatine Cowboys coming to town with Cam Scatterball and Jackson Dart. I don't know what to do with this on Sunday.
Well, and that's the thing. I kept thinking, am I seeing the wrong Jonathan Cooper video? Because I've watched it, and I'm reading the quotes, and I just didn't walk away going, wow, man, he got him. He really roasted their quarterback. I'm with you. I thought I was watching the wrong thing.
Yeah, it was confusing to me at first. I'm tracking this whole thing down. Like, really, this is what we're upset about? So, you know, I don't know. I would say that, you know, if it were your producer making a comment, he would probably say that Cooper threw out a dart and may or may not have hit the bullseye.
Mm-hmm. You just, he's writing this down right now. He's got his little note, his little diary back there that he's writing. Yeah, his joke diary that he has. Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Yeah, talk to me about Cam Scatabo. I like watching him run, but every time I watch him run, I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to last long. He can't do this for a full – can he do it for a full season?
Well, that's the thing. Like, when he was coming out, everybody was telling me, oh, this guy's going to be great in the NFL and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, look, I'm not sure he's not going to be great for a little while, but how long is that going to last? You know, I think most people who know me know I grew up, you know, I knew Peyton Hillis coming up. I grew up, you know, 10 minutes south. We were rival high schools, all that kind of stuff. Peyton Hillis was a lot of fun to watch. But Peyton Hillis, you know, the style that he played with, which is a really similar style to Cam Scatabo. I get they're both white running backs. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But they're, you know, they got a really similar style. And, you know, it just wears you down. And so we saw that one glorious season out of Peyton Hillis, and the body started breaking down, you know, shortly thereafter. And that's kind of what that situation is. And the thing about Hillis is he outweighed Scatabo by like 40 pounds. So, you know, there was more size to him, more heft to him on that. It's not just Scatabo, though. I mean, Jackson Dart plays a very physical style of quarterback there. And I mean, he's been in the medical tent every game so far. I'm not sure we won't see Russell Wilson in this game.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? And then, of course, you got Brian Daboll pulling his best, whatever his name was, from Varsity Blues. Like, can he play? Like, that whole thing is all I'm thinking when he's, like, standing outside the tent.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. God, what was that coach? It was John Voight's character. But yeah. I don't know the character's name. But yeah, it's, you know, and now all I can think about is James Vanderbeek's horrible Southern accent. You know, I don't want to go live.
That's what Jackson Dart's saying to Daboll.
Oh,
probably.
My God, yeah. I don't need that in my life. That's just terrible. But, you know, that's one of those things. Like, they play, it's a fun, you know, exciting way to watch football, and they play with kind of a reckless abandon, and you can't help but root for them when they're not playing the Broncos. But it's something that's just not sustainable. I mean, they're going to, you know, you got Jackson Dart out here playing like he's Cam Newton, and Cam Scatabo out here playing like he's Mike Allstott. And you know, these two guys, at the end of the day, I mean, the body's going to break down over time with this. You just can't do that, you know, long term.
Benjamin Albright joining us. On the Broncos side of things, you know, specifically the offensive line, the left guard, did Garrett Bowles kind of let the cat out of the bag, mentioning who is going to take over at the left guard position?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, they had Matt Peart out there, and then he got hurt. And then you had Calvin Throckmorton out there for one practice, and you immediately pivoted to Alex Palcheski after that. And well, I think that should tell you all they thought about Calvin Throckmorton out there. So Al Pal's going to get the start. A lot of people rooting for him. You know, he's kind of had that whole thing because he kept reporting in as tackle eligible, you know, and all that. So he's got this whole, like, little niche fan base that's all, like, that loves the plays where they were running the six offensive linemen and him coming in. We'll see. He was kind of the right side of the line guy, so it's going to be interesting to watch him mirror and have to flip to being a left side guy, especially against a team like the Giants that have just so many different bodies in the front seven they can send at you. You know, you got Dexter Lawrence at the nose, might be the best nose in the game right now. You've got, on the edges, you got Thibodeau, you got Burns, you got Abdul Carter. And you go back and watch the Eagles tape on Thursday night. One thing they did, they started sending twists and stunts, you know, up front at their injured offensive lineman. Wouldn't be surprised they kept that same game plan against Bowles and Palcheski to see how the communication is early.
Palcheski, wow, that's easy for me to say. I love his story too. I was just doing random Googles, videos, all this stuff, and I didn't know. He, like, fractured his vertebrae when he was 15 years old. He said he couldn't even pick up his head. He had to use his hand to hold up his head as he's walking to the sidelines, and his parents are basically like, yeah, that's it for you. No more football. But he said, I want to go to college so you don't have to worry about paying for it. Phenomenal story, so you can see why he's a fan favorite.
Well, yeah, and I can relate to that, too. It's a little different for me. It's just so much knowledge that I have to use my hands to hold the head up. But
I thought that about you. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just ego. I don't know.
Talk to me about, you know, what you're seeing with Bo Nix at this point. I just feel like, yeah, defensively we know how good this team is, but the offense, it just feels like it's stuck. It's in mud. Once in a while, it pops out of there, and we see something kind of exciting. That touchdown pass and the play design was excellent last week. But then just clunky. Now, I think Bo talked about it, just no rhythm. How do you put rhythm into this offense?
Well, you're the play caller. You get out of your own head and figure out what works for your quarterback, and that's been the problem. You know, Sean Payton treats this like Drew Brees is still running the offense, and Drew's not. In fact, Bo's not even diet Drew. He's really closer to, like, poor man's Tony Romo than he is to Drew Brees. Start running things that work for your quarterback. You know, just the other day, Bo was talking about, hey, we need to go up tempo a little bit more. It gets me in a rhythm, all that kind of stuff. And then Sean gets on the podium and it's like, well, you know, I can't let him do that all the time. There's, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just couldn't give a reason why he couldn't do it, just other than he didn't want to do it. But the Broncos are very good playing at tempo. As a matter of fact, they're a top five offense when they EPA per play when they're playing at tempo. But the Broncos do it one of the least. We've seen it a little bit here or there, right? You get a first down on first or second down, they hurry up to the line and they get a good playoff after that. They should be doing stuff like that, but they don't. And these absurd personnel rotations all the time that we do and that we don't need to do. It takes guys out of rhythm and all that kind of stuff. We got away from it for a minute. We started winning football games. We saw how the offense looked against Cincinnati and Philadelphia. And then, you know, we go right back to it against the Jets and we look stupid. So, you know, Sean Payton has got to get over himself. He's got to find the things that work for his guy and do that. Instead of trying to fit Bo to what Sean Payton wants to do, Sean Payton needs to fit Sean Payton to what Bo wants to do.
I feel like we've been having these conversations now for a season and a half, you know, talking to you last year. It's Sean Payton, why isn't he running the ball more? He writes it down on his play sheet. Why do we have all these different personnel pairings? What's going on there? Why is RJ Harvey, your rookie, why do we not know more about him at this stage? There's just a lot of those things, Benjamin, that seem obvious to your average sports fan, and I know it never is, but sometimes it is, it seems like, with Sean Payton.
Well, yeah, and it's okay. I mean, Sean Payton's been a head coach for a long time, and so you kind of get stuck in your ways. You kind of get set in your ways. Well, I've got a track record. I know what works, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and you go from there. And I'm like, well, you know, yeah, but you also had a top five all-time quarterback in Drew Brees, and that covered up all manner since. You've got a second-year quarterback now who's not Drew Brees. And so that sort of changes, I think, the calculus a little bit. Sean Payton wants to do what Sean Payton wants to do, and that's gotten him in trouble before. I mean, Sean Payton, before he was a head coach, he had play calling stripped away from him and got fired twice, you know, because he would get in his own head and start doing stupid stuff like this, and he needed a head coach to tell him what to do. Well, now he's the head coach, and he makes all the decisions. There's nobody to rein him in. So there are some moments where he needs to get out of his own way. He's a smart guy. He's a smart football coach. He's a good football coach. But he gets in his own way sometimes, and we've seen it. That's why you only got one Super Bowl with a top five all-time quarterback.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country tonight. Broncos are, last I checked, either 7-point favorite or 7.5-point favorite. How do you feel about this game coming up against the Giants, my friend? It was weird in London against the Jets. They still win, but didn't cover. Clunky. Do we see a breakout day from this Broncos offense?
I don't know if you're likely to see a breakout day this week. That defense is tougher than you think. We'll see. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that. We'll see. But that Giants defense is a lot better than people think it is. I think this is a game the Giants could cover. Broncos could win. Giants could cover. I think you just have to play mistake-free football. They have a really lethal front seven. They got multiple guys they can send at you from multiple ways. The secondary is a little exploitable if that pressure doesn't get home. But I think the big thing to keep your eye on is Dexter Lawrence, the big guy right there in the middle. He plays the nose there. He's going to be up against the center and probably shaded over the left guard a little bit. And he is, if not the best interior offensive lineman in football, the second best behind maybe Malik Collins. So you got to watch out for him. He's a big, strong, fast guy who creates pressure quick up the middle and get Bo off his spot. And that could create some problems for the Broncos offense.
So I'm not hearing a Broncos cover in this one, Benjamin. What do you think?
I think I'm on the Giants to cover. I think the Broncos could win, but I think I'm on the Giants to cover that thing and keep it, you know, a one score game.
All right, my man. Always appreciate the insight, and I'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country tonight, giving Micah confidence. In himself to just be who he is, which is a demerit.
Benjamin Albright's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. Ethan Bird will join me coming up at the top of the hour. Air Force in Wyoming. Why are the Cowboys going to win? Why should we trust this offense to do what every other offense has done against Air Force? We'll ask Ethan. Coming up, it's the whole show. We also have Brian Howell. I know the Buffs are off, but we'll talk to him. Talk a little Buffs. Got the quarterback toilet bowl. I think I'm still leading in that. We got the picks. We got breakdowns. We got all of it. It's Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
Big City Roadhouse presents Football Friday. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.